KMOX. Our next guest in studio is Kelly Cannell. She is the executive director, Disabled Athlete Sports Association. They have their Gateway Games happening this weekend. And just in our brief little conversation, so you founded this 30 years ago. And yes, we were talking about how Paralympics and things like that existed, but it didn't have nearly the coverage that we see today.
No, over the last probably 2 or 3 Paralympic Games, we're definitely getting more coverage. Mm-hmm. And I think that was mostly because of the sled hockey team. That sled hockey team, Team USA, has won gold for the last 10 Paralympic Games.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
We, DASA, started a sled hockey program here in St. Louis in 2001. And since then, we have produced 4 gold medalist Paralympians. One of them was team captain this year at the Paralympic Games.
Well done.
And has been.
What was it 30 years ago that moved you to do this?
Well, I'm a physical therapist, mm-hmm, and I worked in the realm of spinal cord injuries and pediatrics. And it just didn't fit right with me that I was trying to fix these individuals when I knew that through sport and fitness, these individuals could be setting their own goals. And they could perceive through or go through any challenges if we empowered them to use the abilities that they had.
Yeah.
And a lot of them were athletes to begin with. So I didn't, you know, in their new normal, it's like there's still a sport you can participate in. And so I just formed a nonprofit. I had no idea it was going to get this far and this big today.
That's fantastic.
It was something for me to do on the side.
And we have a mutual friend, Amaryse, who absolutely charmed the Dave Glover audience, as you can imagine.
She does that.
And you sort of discovered her.
Yes. Actually, my son did. We were at the zoo and my son said, it's a funny joke we say within our families is, look, mommy, it's a DASA baby, because he saw her prosthetic leg. My children have grown up with DASA and all of our athletes as family. And we started talking to Amaryse and we got her into swimming and then track. And our family got to join her family in Paris for the Paralympic Games. So very, very proud of her.
Yeah. She was fantastic.
Yeah.
She's
an amazing
lady. What an ambassador.
She's wonderful for everything. Yes.
So tell us about the games happening this weekend.
So the Gateway Games presented by the Hartford is really exciting for DASA. We have been hosting the Gateway Games since 2009. And these past 3 years, the Hartford has seen the quality of the event, and we have been selected out of 1 of 5 series that they support across the country. So the Hartford supports us along with Move United and presenting a multi-sport event. So we are competing in air rifle, archery, open water triathlon, swimming, para powerlifting, track and field. And we have athletes coming from everywhere, from Texas, Alabama, Indiana. We are the only adaptive para sport club in the Midwest. So even for our athletes to be able to compete, they have to travel. So this is the one time a year where we have athletes come to us.
Yeah. Weird question, a reverse question, but what do you think it is that maybe the general population gets wrong about para athletes, or maybe would be surprised by, since if they don't go to actually watch them compete?
Right. I think it is not a weird question. It is something that as society, we tend to think those with disabilities fit in one box and those with abilities fit in another box. But if we think about it, within us with abilities, we're all very different. So those with disabilities are also very different. Right away, when you say somebody has a disability and they're in athletics, society typically assumes Special Olympics, which is a wonderful organization for individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. There's not really a large fit for those with physical disabilities like cerebral palsy, amputation, spinal cord injury. And so this is an opportunity for them to compete at a very high level. Our athletes in this competition this weekend will have to hit a standard to make it to the national championships. And there might be 0.5% of those athletes that are training and elite enough to even think about hitting a standard for the Paralympics.
Like any other kind of athletics.
Yes. The Olympics and Paralympics are the same. So the sports that you see in LA in 2028 in the Paralympic Games will be the same as the Olympic Games. And those athletes train at the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs. They train on track in Chula Vista. We're hoping to have at least 5 athletes in LA at the Paralympic Games. And Amaris, of course, will be one of them.
Yeah. Rach, Kev, jump in anywhere you want.
Yeah.
So you are a feeder to the Paralympics.
Yes. I would think that we could call ourselves a Paralympic pipeline. That's what we're doing. And it's wonderful when that happens. It's not the main focus, though. What we really want is for all individuals with physical disabilities to understand that they have abilities. It might be their new normal. But find out what your ability is and do the best you can with that ability. And don't let anybody lower the expectations of you. If you want to be an athlete, gosh darn it, we will find a way. The differences in what our athletes do and a typical athlete is we have adaptive equipment. The sport itself is not adaptive. So if you come out and watch our track meet this Sunday out at Francis House Central, you will see us running the 100, 200, 400, 1500. We run marathons, but we're running them in a racing chair or in like Amaris's situation, she runs with a running leg. The rules are not different. We run by USATF sanctioned. So you go out of your lane, you're disqualified. Mm-hmm. Same with swimming. Same with our triathlon. We are the only adaptive organization in the country that's hosting an open water triathlon for our athletes with disabilities. So it's if you're a triathlete, you should come out on Sunday morning and see our athletes that are swimming maybe without the use of their legs or maybe with the use of one arm. But they are doing what you are doing.
Mm-hmm.
When they get out, they get in a adaptive bicycle or a racing chair instead of running with their legs, but they're doing the same distances with the same rules and regulations.
Was it, I would guess sort of like you said, if everyone here is an athlete, well, I'm going to be a lot better at something than Rach and be a lot better at something than me. And that's no different.
Absolutely.
You know, it just happened. You were born missing a leg.
You're just different.
And
you just do things differently.
Yeah.
So just like in the typical world, if you love soccer, but you're not good at it, if you're in a soccer chair or not, then us at DASA would say, okay, try it out, but we're not going to encourage you to stay because then that becomes special. That becomes like, oh, look what you can do.
Right.
And that's yucky. I don't like that.
Instead, drill down on that for me.
Well, yeah. Instead, you know, that would be something that we as society would want for that person. Like, oh, at least you can do this.
Yeah.
And instead, DAS is going to find a sport that you're successful in. We had a young athlete, my friend Kylan. I'll throw his name out there. He's amazing, too. He was an amazing able-bodied tennis player till his junior year of high school. And all these kids that jump into the high schools, into the swimming pool at the hotel the night before, he dove in and broke his neck.
Uh-huh.
That's what you say right away. Right. But what happens is we meet him at the rehab center. We duct tape a tennis racket to his hand and we say, you will play again. You're just going to play differently. Now he's a quad. So he did play in the wheelchair tennis open. He did it. But then that, and with his new normal, wasn't the best sport for him. Because he loved tennis, but now that he has a new ability, his best sport was rugby. And he's really good at quad wheelchair rugby. So we found what was best for him instead of what everybody just assumed. He used to play tennis. Let's do it again. Where he wasn't exceptional at it, but he is very good at rugby.
Huh. Kelly, talk a little bit more about the emotional well-being that playing sports can provide. Like maybe some of these athletes have just shared like what it's able to do for them mentally, emotionally.
Thank you. Yes. They share it all the time because, our hockey team will talk about how it's a brotherhood. Our parents of these individuals talk about the emotional support because our athletes have different lifestyles, right? So they're wearing braces or they have to, if they all want to go out on Friday night, they got to figure out how they're going to get down the 3 steps to the restaurant. Mm-hmm. So they can share those experiences with each other. They all have great able-bodied friends, but these are type of experiences and emotional support they can receive from each other because they all are challenged in today's world. And so that really helps. But also just being part of a team helps us all, right? When we're part of a team, setting goals for yourself. I want to be the best I can in swimming. So I have to do my dry land training. I have to keep my grades up. That's different than your physical therapist telling you, I want you to do these exercises. You have to be stretched. now I'm doing it for myself so I can be the best I can in swimming. So there's a lot of great social and emotional growth that comes from being part of sports.
My intuition is that the parents of disabled athletes have probably changed a lot over your 30 years. Because I'm guessing that 30 years ago, they may have been a little more like, I don't know about this. This seems dangerous or
yes.
might be embarrassing. And now it's just, yeah, of course.
Well, yes, that's true. But it's still for our new athletes, our new parents, it's a little challenging. One of my stories about parents is we were rock climbing once. And I was looking out the window and I saw a parent lift their child from the car and put them in the wheelchair and push them to the rock climbing wall. And that dad said, I don't know if he's going to be able to do it. And I said, you're right. He didn't even get out of the chair by himself. So we spent the first 6 weeks of 8 weeks of rock climbing teaching him to get out of the car by himself. So you're not going to be a rock climber if you can't do that. So it's really teaching the parents, you know, I'm not going to fix them for this 30-minute session today. We are working on your whole person.
Kev, for years, has coached 14 and under baseball. I'm sure it's no different.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Right?
When they show
same
up.
Idea.
Yeah.
Same idea.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, to the word.
Right.
Yeah. From the very beginning, do this for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Find what's best for you. Sometimes I am a third baseman. No, you're not. You're probably a right fielder.
Right.
Right. Like, same exact word for word process.
And things like don't forget your bag,
right.
And don't forget your water. And,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
Don't forget to bring your food.
Right.
Kelly, don't make mom and dad do it.
How do people come out and observe, or how do people get in touch with you and help?
Yeah, so we are still looking for volunteers for this weekend. So we would love for someone to come out and really enjoy and be engaged with our athletes. And you can go to our website. It's www.dasasports.org. And again, there are so many events to choose one from Friday through Sunday. Pick your pleasure, whatever sport you like. Come out and watch, be fans in the stands, or volunteer. We'd
Very
love
nice.
To have you.
Great to meet you. Anything yes. we can do in the future, let us know.
Thank you so much.
Sleepers. Just stop sleep.
Happy Tuesday. Great segment. I love stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's great. Gen Z has a new term. Boomer bad news drop. They say that their boomer parents and grandparents love to drop bad news. And I'm laughing because my mom and dad were like that.
That is true. Yeah,
they love to be the one to tell you that someone got hit by a train.
Yeah,
they,
I think it's less of a boom. I think like people associated with boomers right now, because that is the like older parent age.
Yeah,
the older parent generation. But I do think that is just simply a mom and dad thing. like you said, your mom and dad were not boomers, and they loved doing it.
So the silent generation probably did the same thing.
I think a lot of boomers listening are going, no, I don't do that. My parents did that. You know what I mean? I think that's I think that's just when mom and dad get a little older.
I'm going to hold my hand up.
I think Andrew's
I'm
right.
I'm a little bit like this.
I think Andrew's right. I think it's just, I don't know what the age is, but I think you reach an age and that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I just love, I mean, I have a really big audience that I talk to 4 hours a friggin' day. And yet in my other life, if I come across a little bit of information, whether it's, hey, did you hear this happen in Congress, or did you hear what Leroy did?
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to be the one to crack it on you.
Yep.
It's always fun when someone hasn't heard something.
Oh, yeah.
I thought this was interesting, too. Gen Z clearly is jealous of my and Wheeler's generation, Gen X, because they're always trying to do the stuff that we did, and they're always posting like, oh my God, to be born in the 60s and did this and this and this. And then I just saw a story today that guess what is sweeping Gen Z? Hacky sack.
Oh my God.
Right.
I actually saw some folks doing that. some kids doing that maybe 2 weeks ago.
I guess it's back.
Yep.
It's huge on college campuses.
I mean, it makes sense. Easy, fits in your pocket, kills time, fun.
Well, two of those things are, well, one of those things is true.
Which one?
Kills time.
It fits in your pocket.
Oh.
I don't think it really kills time. It's not fun. It's not easy.
Not a hacky sacker?
No.
I was not either back in the day. I don't have those kinds of skills.
I wanted to be because, you know, in around, I don't know, eighth grade, everybody started getting into it.
Yeah.
And it's like, now
this is like the third life of hacky sacks.
Yeah.
What are the little skateboards called?
Tech decks.
What?
I don't know about these.
Those were popular when Andrew and I were kids, and they're just like a skateboard you like ride with your fingers, basically.
Oh.
It's a little toy skateboard. The Gen Z kids, they love those.
Really?
I see those all the time.
Wanted to be good at those more than anything because that's what
there's
because,
a talent to it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's not hard to do because a lot of my friends in like middle school and early high school were actual like they actually liked to skateboard, and that was also during the era of like Tony Hawk was at his most popular and like Jackass, which had a lot of very associated to skate culture, was you know becoming huge and on TV and stuff. I wanted to be good at the little fingerboard stuff so bad. I just couldn't do it.
But
I'm capable.
I don't think I've ever seen this. Like, you just roll it around on the table in front of you?
I'll see if I can find one at a toy store and bring it in. I'll find one at, like, Walgreens or whatever and bring it in.
All right, but, like, do they have, like, little courses, like, in front of them? You're like...
No, you just do tricks. Like, you could grind on, like, the side of the table or whatever.
And flip it and stuff?
You can flip it. Yeah, if you're good at it, you can flip it.
Okay. Got it. So it's more like a fidget toy type thing.
Yeah.
No. Okay.
Did you say no?
I did say no.
But is it kind of like that, right? Like
I was going to liken it to a fidget spinner in a way of just like, it's just kind of something
to do with your hands. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sure, I guess in the way that like everything is something to do with your hands. I don't know.
Everything. Well, what would you quantify it as? A sport?
Yeah, like a skill-based
like a yo-yo.
Sort of, yeah. Like a yo-yo, like, sure, you can just do this with a yo-yo for 2 minutes and then go, this sucks, and throw it. Or you could get, like, really good at it and do all kinds of, like, tricks and things. I think there's something to it. Now, granted, it does seem clear that I put this on a certain higher pedestal than everybody else.
I'm not sure I've ever seen you defend something like this.
It was funny where Wheels was like, oh, so it's like a fidget thing, and we said opposite answers at the exact same time, very decisively, like, yes, no.
That's funny.
Bye. Artistic Dex.
Welcome back, DGS. Our buddy Vic Souter says, well, I know Wheels is Gen X. Dave, aren't you boomer but on the cusp? Shut up, Vic.
Vic, chill.
Vic, we didn't bring that up, man.
Chill. Hey, yo.
Dave has disavowed the boomers.
Chill.
Hey, where's that button where you get rid of people?
Oh, I can do that. I can do that, no problem.
I missed Gen X by 4 months. And it's one of the banes of my existence because it is technically accurate and practically completely wrong.
Yeah, you grew up as an X.
Completely.
Yeah.
Like, my brother and sister were boomers.
Right.
And they grew up as boomers. They had JFK and, you know, Vietnam and all that stuff. And I had Huffy bikes and, you know, the like.
I'm proud to be a millennial.
Me too.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud to be a boomer.
Yeah.
There you go.
Come on.
You guys take it on the chin. We guys. Boomers.
We guys. Yeah.
They
ask me if I care.
It's very Gen X of you.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's definitely our line.
Dave, do you have an interview later or a date? Your hair looks fantastic.
I just got a haircut.
Okay.
Looks nice.
Thank you.
Seems that only one of us noticed. So, by the way, Andrew, Rachel pulled up the finger skateboarding website
Tech Deck.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it helped your argument much.
Why?
Well, we were training for the finger running Olympics in here a few minutes ago. Dave, I think you're going to win the 100.
I don't get it.
It does look kind of silly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's silly. It's a toy.
Kevin's direct quote was, "That looks like something anyone could do."
That's right.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to see you try.
Here
we go.
Oh, God. It's not that easy, dude. It ain't that easy. The other problem is I went on Amazon and I was like, I'm buying one and I'm bringing it in and I'm going to show them.
It's like $15. Yeah. I'm not
spending $15 on a piece of trash.
I thought it was a little crazy myself.
It's not a piece of trash, but you're defending it.
Buy two of
them.
It's
a toy.
I'll pay for them. And
yeah,
you and Wheeler can face off on the show.
Well, there'd be no point in me facing off because I already said I can't do it.
We can do it better than he can.
Nope.
No?
Nope. I tried for years, and I'm still at square one. Just like actual skateboarding. I am completely incapable.
Okay.
I can't real skateboard at all, ever. Never did it well. Fall on my ass every time. Yeah. But I think I can do the finger skate.
Yeah, to be clear, I'm not petitioning for this to be in the Olympics. I'm just saying it's like it's a toy.
Yes.
It's like a skill-based toy.
So
for your hands.
If the aliens
I don't know why I'm saying toy like that with three syllables.
The aliens landed and said, we just need your best finger skater. Uh-huh. You're taking yourself out of the...
I don't even own one. I mean, I couldn't do it.
No, there are people who can do, like, they could do the tricks for sure.
Yeah. It's not impossible. Like, I don't think it's, like, extremely difficult to do the tricks and stuff. I'm not able to do it.
Okay. Skill-based toy. Uh-huh. How many of you guys can hula hoop?
I can hula hoop.
I can.
Well,
everybody says they can hula hoop.
Waist and hips are a little different than last time I tried it, so I actually don't know.
Put a hula hoop on that Amazon order.
I actually do not know if I can hula hoop anymore.
Five of them.
Yeah, I could never, I couldn't do, three at once or anything.
Yeah. No, and I don't know, I remember how long I could, but you can get it going for a little bit.
Yeah.
Man, that's the good thing about, my nieces are still so young that, all you got to do is bust out the hula hoop, and they're oh my gosh, you're so good.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be in the checkout aisle with a bunch of toys and hula hoops, and they're gonna be like, "Sir, we're gonna need some proof that you have a 2-year-old child right now."
Flexibility is a little bit more of a concern since the last time I did it. I think you can figure it out.
Throw your back out.
Yeah.
Brian M says, "I'm literally just putting two fingers on the skateboard and rolling it around." Oh, it's literally. I thought you were doing it right now.
I was like,
oh, man, how about that?
Yeah, Resident Republican Brian M. does the same thing.
You can flip it and make it do tricks.
He's got a little tiny MAGA skateboard.
Okay, look. AI.
I'm going to make it do a trick.
Here's the AI overview, so take it with a grain of salt.
Uh-huh.
Using a tech deck is generally considered easy to start for casual play, but mastering tricks requires significant practice, patience, and fine motor skills.
Mm-hmm. I don't have any of that. I got none of that.
You busted out early on it.
None of that business.
I'm not trying to yuck anybody's yum, but why
hurt
would...
my feelings.
No, it's not, Andrew. It's you know to not waste your time on this.
Yeah.
If this is something that's extremely difficult and you're pouring hours into it, why? Why not do something cool? Like, I'm not trying
like
to...
That is, like
so,
a yo-yo.
That is actually kind of where I landed with it when I was trying really hard to be good at it. At a certain point, I was like... I don't even want to call it diminishing returns because it's null returns. There are no returns
for
it.
Yeah, it's not going to, impress girls.
Yeah, no one's going to think this is cool.
You're not going to get a tech deck scholarship.
My friends who can do it well, who already hate me and think I'm stupid and a loser, they're not going to like me more because I learned how to do the stupid thing with my hands.
Who hates you?
Yeah, it was a weird time for me.
Names.
Oh, you mean back then.
Cool. Yeah, back then. No, now I'm talking about you guys.
No, yeah. We can all see hating you back then. We're gonna defend today, Andrew. There. Had this hit when I was in sixth grade, I would have been a master.
Oh yeah,
and dance lessons.
Yeah, this is exactly the kind of thing I thought women wanted.
You've been doing tech lessons in the basement.
Oh yeah, I'm already nunchucking and
setting up a little course.
Yes.
Were you able to do it, Rach? Did you say?
I never owned one.
Okay.
Like, the boys in my class had one, so I would, take it for a spin for, 30 seconds. But then it was okay, well, I'm pretending I'm riding a skateboard, I guess. It's kind of like playing with like a little toy horse or something. It's like, yeah, it's like I'm skating down to the park.
Precisely, yes. It was supposed to be wish fulfillment for losers like me who don't have the like balance and coordination to actually skateboard. So I was like, oh, this is perfect. This is going to be like kind of the same thing.
You know,
and then I did that. I couldn't do this either. I was like, come on.
I guarantee you that even the guy that invented it goes, this is kind of stupid, right? Like, no one's going to buy a tiny skateboard.
Still going. Hmm. I was shy. I thought it was going to be like vintage toys.
What else could we miniaturize that you could do with your fingers?
Oh, there's miniature BMX that you ride with your fingers.
You pedal it?
I don't think you pedal it, but you work the bars and then you like flip it and do spins and stuff.
Hmm. Silly me.
We used to do those. Like when you had the G.I. Joes, man, they used to be like Olympic divers because you could just go, boo. Yeah. Let them fall, yeah.
Hot Wheels?
Yeah, Hot Wheels. Man, you can do tricks.
Oh, now tricks are cool.
We're not really saying they're cool.
Oh.
But you can do them.
You can do them.
I can take my car and just go, whoa, look at that.
That's
he jumped.
The thing, you could.
I'm an excellent driver.
I could see Andrew when he was young, maybe even now, with a little top hat, a little cane, and doing magic tricks.
And a cane? Oh, okay. No, because I don't have the dexterity. I don't have the like fine motor skills. If I could do close up magic, I'm sure I could do kickflips and stuff.
On the skateboard?
On the miniature skateboard.
On the tech deck.
No, I would love to be able to do close-up magic. I don't think I can do it. I've never really tried, but I don't think I could.
One of Phoebe's roommates has taken up, what's it called? Close magic?
Close-up magic? Close-up magic. Yeah, like sleight of hand stuff.
And we were there last weekend, and she's so impressed Nick and Bree that they've invited her to be the pre-wedding entertainment at their wedding.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Nice.
That is cool.
Have Stella there doing magic tricks for people?
That is...
I think as the father, I have to pay for that, but you know.
Yeah.
Gen Z is so weird, man. I didn't know a ton of sorority girls when I was in college, but they really weren't into close-up magic, sleight of hand.
Andrew, you're going to be a great old man.
You got a head start.
Kids these days with their hand dexterities
and their up close magic.
This all started because we were talking about hacky sack.
Oh yeah.
Do you guys remember hand sack?
I have some experience.
Dave and I went down the same road there.
I have some experience.
I've never heard of this, but I found it on a Wikipedia list of skill toys.
Is my name there?
Which is what Andrew described the tech deck as,
yeah,
a skill toy.
Skill-based toy.
So it's a sack or similar object, typically made of cloth, and filled with sand or similar material.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. It's been a good 25 years.
Tossed on the back of the hand for the purpose of mastering tricks or playing games.
On the back?
Yeah.
Never tried the back of the hand.
Well, I just wondered if you guys knew what it was.
It is a skill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
It's one of the few skills that's innate to the human animal.
What other toys are on there? Any other good ones?
Yeah, there's a bunch I've never heard of.
And she's like trying to change the subject.
Yeah, he's trying to help her out.
Well, I keep having more jokes that come up that I really don't want to say, so I have to change it.
I'm just going to sit here and laugh because I'm going to get in trouble.
A boomerang.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I've
that's
always
one.
Wanted one of those.
Every boy on earth wanted to try a boomerang, and it either didn't work or it killed one of your loved ones.
Yes.
Those were the only two options.
They come in hot when they come back at you.
Yeah, it knocked out a bunch of grandpa's memories, or you just chucked it and it just disappeared.
Oh my goodness, Tech Deck is on the list of skill toys.
Oh boy.
Validation.
Come on now.
Hey, if you can hand sack, you can...
You can tech deck.
Mm-hmm. Same basic principles apply.
Look, Dave, a flip.
Slinky.
Slinky is not a skill-based toy.
Oh, my God,
it
is.
You got to get it going down those stairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going angles.
Has anyone ever made that happen?
Yes.
Downstairs? Really? I've never tried.
You have to have the metal slinky.
I've got a slinky at home right now.
Plastic slinkies are
Right. The metal ones you got to have.
Yeah.
Plastic ones suck.
I was into yo-yos for a couple weeks.
Oh, me too.
So Rachel and I were part of the generation, and maybe you guys had this too, where for some reason in our school, they were allowed to bring in...
market.
Yeah, they were allowed to bring in professional yo-yo tour and then just to sell us yo-yo.
Yes.
What in the hell was going on there?
And the weirder part is at my school, like, they had that, but Christian. So that was like all avenues were being covered.
Christian yo-yos?
Yeah, it was like a Christian message.
Oh,
because there's no way they're letting him into the school unless it's like
on message
for Christ.
Right. Call this one. Right. Call the... this one. He's in the tomb and he's out.
This is the crown of thorns.
All right, guys, we spent so much time on the hand sack that we don't have a segment here. When we come back, we'll do the Think Tank with Kurt Barr and Rasheen Aldridge. Should be really good.